Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday, September 5th. Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. It's good to see everybody here today. Item number two on our agenda is approval of the minutes.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward, name and address. 2.5 minutes. Any public comments? All right. That was easy. Item number four, update on mobility action plan, also known as a traffic study.
Sounds better.
Yeah, it does. I know. I appreciate it. So I guess y'all just gonna give a general update, and then I know we have a few questions, and we're gonna talk about the incident response.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Mayor, member of council members, we've got sort of two breakouts today. I'll talk myself about the general overview of where we stand on the MAP study, and then Brad will get into the incident response portion specifically. So we've met with our consultants, and we've given them clear direction on where to move forward, really with two intersections in mind for potential larger CIP projects in the future. One, the first being Houston Northcutt at 17. And if you recall, there were several options that we investigated as part of this potential intersection improvement. One was a displaced left or jug handles where you would exit the facility and then make a left or go straight across from the side street as sort of an indirect left, if that makes sense. And the second alternative that we've directed them to investigate further is the actual grade separation, so similar to the Bowman overpass, something along those lines. And what our consultant's going to be looking at is impacts to adjacent properties, as well as costs associated with it and the benefits of those individuals' potential improvements. So we chose these two as opposed to the first alternative there to because they had sort of the most benefit associated with delay. The second intersection that we are having them also vet a little bit further is the intersection of Coleman, Ben Sawyer, and Chuck Dolly intersection. So what we're having them look at here are really, again, just two alternatives. One is the removal of split phasing from the intersection so those side streets can run concurrently, frees up some time for the main line. And then looking back at least the cost associated with the roundabout project. We know the metrics from an operational standpoint. Those were vetted in a deeper dive in the original design, but it's been a while since we've looked at those costs and just want to make sure that those are all up to speed. So those are the two items that we're looking for as well. These were, again, those two that were sort of the most impactful from a reduction in delay standpoint, least impactful to existing businesses. You'll see alternative three here. Was one that we chose not to look at. That was a full realignment and shifting north of that intersection, which would have impacted the Sea Island Shopping Center. And so we decided to forego that one just due to the impacts to adjacent businesses. And that is it for the two intersections our consultants are looking into further.
So any committee member questions?
On the intersection right out here on 17 and Patriots Plaza area, what is going to be the cost of a full overpass?
That is what our consultants are doing a deeper dive into now. They're looking at right-of-way acquisition, impacts to businesses, and then just general construction costs. Because beyond the intersection itself, there are some other potential improvements along Wingo Way, the intersection of Wingo Way and Mathis Ferry, to help sort of, again, distribute and alleviate some traffic issues in the area.
There was some talk about coming up on Houston Northcutt and trying to make a left turn at the service road and work on that. Is that one of the ones that you mentioned?
So that is it's essentially a displaced left. So yes, it removes those left turns from three of the four approaches to the intersection, and then utilizes the frontage road to accommodate those maneuvers.
And have we eliminated that, or are we just?
That is one of the alternatives that our consultant is pursuing as doing a cost-benefit analysis.
Good. Okay.
We did eliminate the, if you recall, the CFI intersection, which was, we don't have that shown here, but anyway, it's a very complex intersection design. In fact, we felt it was probably more impactful than even an interchange design as far as impacts go to property. So it's like, well, if you're going to go and have that much impact and probably a pretty significant cost, it's probably best to go with what we know is going to perform better, which is the interchange. So you're really going to kind of have the jug handle is going to be your lower gain, but it might not be anywhere near as much cost. And it could be some interim improvement you do for a time while you pursue an interchange. But that's how we landed on those two.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have I'm sure it's somewhere, a similar study that was done for the overpass at Bowman Road, the grade separation?
We would have the original study is at least 17 years old for that, and then the design year traffic that was performed is like 2010.
Right.
So that's the last time that you would have any kind of major study of the intersection. And we've probably had level of service.
Like the effects on the property around there. I mean, as a resident, I've noticed some change once the overpass went in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not scientific. That's just anecdotal.
Right.
So, but I just wondering about, we got a lot of businesses in there, and I know they could be adversely affected, which would also drive the cost up, right? Because they have to be compensated. Is that correct? That's an inverse condemnation type thing.
Yes, sir. We would have to compensate them for any property taken. And if it was a full take, then you can imagine those are very expensive properties right there.
Okay. So, but what if it's not actually taken, but it's just a negative effect from being below the grade? And
If it's recognized,
visibility.
If it's recognized in our appraisal, then they would be offered compensation for damages. If there's no take or acquisition whatsoever, then we kind of get into that other scenario, you say an inverse condemnation, where they say, well, you damaged us, and then the onus is on them to come and say, here's how you damaged me, and here's what I want for compensation.
And is it a safe layman's assumption for somebody like me that something that goes there would pretty much look like and match what's at Bowman Road, which is not a bad for an overpass or great, sir? It's not a bad looking.
It'd be similar. Yes, sir. Okay. I mean, that's what we call a tight urban diamond.
A what?
A tight urban diamond.
Wow.
So it's just like a regular interchange where your ramps come off and you have two signals.
Yeah.
And it looks like a diamond. And then just north of there is a single point urban interchange at Hungry Neck. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit different. So all the turns can occur at one time for the less. You don't have two signals. It's easier to manage.
Right.
But they both look similar. They're bridge structures.
Okay. And, you know, the big issue here, and I know I've said this before, but what ties this up and makes this area between the frontage road and Johnny Dodd's so bad is all the cars trying to get to go left to the bridge, and they're crossing, I think it's four lanes there. And it takes some practice and skill to survive, not survive, that's overstating, to not mix it up at that intersection, because people are coming, and when they come, they're coming over, and then they'll block the two lanes to make sure they make that left turn. And that's more the issue than the traffic that's flowing through is the ones that are making that left turn.
That the main line intersection certainly fouls up, however you want to say it. It can adversely affect these other two intersections that are adjacent. You bridge it, you take that volume out, you would have what you have at Bowman, which is generally you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that kind of backup.
Right.
So.
Right. So is the committee comfortable with those priorities? And of course, we're not making a decision yet, but it is to focus and get information and bring it back.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A little bit more dive on the design so we can understand what the impacts would be, and that'll relate to the cost.
Okay.
Well, operationally, we already have information. You know, you can see the gain and the increase or decrease in the congestion. So now we just need to look at impacts and cost.
Got it. Any other questions on that?
No, I'm ready to get in.
And I sort of asked about this to get on there because we're in September now. We started this study in January. We got, I think, again, as a layman, phenomenal results from that study. It was very enlightening. And then, you know, none of the new designs, nothing works if we have a wreck like the bridge. Carl, you know, from y'all being in law enforcement, if there's a fender bender on the bridge, the best bridge in the world is not going to move traffic until the incident is somehow resolved. And so that might be the first best improvement we get out of this whole thing. And so let's walk through what we would need to do to make some progress on that.
Yes, sir. And good point as far as low-hanging fruit. This is something that we can certainly, and we've indicated we would pursue. We have our consultant kind of doing that in the final report. Today, I just have some slides, really just to continue the discussion, make sure we understand we're on point with what the expectation is, and just to give you some information. So we already have good information from the map report on crash data. We know where they're occurring, when they occur, those types of things. So that's already done. I got that one checked. We will probably look a little closer at hours that these are occurring, because if we start to talk about staging resources and things like that, that's time, that's money. So we just want to be able to quantify it. So we would want to correlate those two to have the most impact for the least cost. And then we'd also be looking at areas where we know it's difficult to get around or to, like Long Point Road, obviously, two-lane road. You know, how do you work that into your design of where you might have resources? This really does focus on incidents without injuries, because if you have injuries, that's a priority, and that's what our medical responders are going to respond to. So what we're talking about is some disabled vehicle that is impeding traffic that we could, as quickly as possible, clear it, get it out of the way. So that's the objective. That's the current policy of the police department. And of course, Chief Arnold's here to speak to some of these items here in a minute. Clearance is the focus for our police department. Availability, proximity, where is it located, and then the capability. There's a difference between a pickup truck and a tow truck,
mm-hmm.
right? A Shep vehicle that you see on the interstate, best they can do is push, which is great. And if we have that resource and we have that need and can do it, that's what happens. I think our police department does that right now. So the capability of the equipment is also key. So resource must be have the ability to relocate any non-disabled vehicle and then remove a disabled vehicle from the scene as quickly as possible. And we already talked about peak locations and times. So there are some, I guess, some approaches. And this kind of goes from, I guess, a more most intensive approach and probably more expensive approach to the least. But you could contract with towing companies to have these vehicles available and pre-positioned to respond, and that's all they're going to be doing is sitting there responding to you. Right now, it's an on-call system. Maybe the chief can explain a little bit better, but it's whoever's available, and they might be busy doing something right then, so if there's time, and time is what we're talking about here. So that is one approach, and that is... I quickly calculated if you did $50 an hour just to have someone sit there, it's probably $75,000 for one tow truck for a year, just to be positioned. Another option is an expansion of the CSO program. And they're very capable. They're very responsive. They're officers, so they have more authority. what kind of equipment we give them, like, you know, that's still, we'd have to discuss that, but they could certainly better enable our responsiveness right now. You could go to what we have, motor assistance, which is road rangers type. You know, they respond to a broken down vehicle, a flat tire, those types of things. They're just kind of in the area and respond. That would probably be expensive also. We don't have a real good model for that, except for the SHEP program. We could also look at, maybe there's a partnership with our new fleet manager, which is Vector. That's the name of our fleet manager. This is just an idea that actually Marcy came up with. We could maybe work with them to have some sort of relationship where they kind of manage the calling of the tow trucks and make sure that the asset is available to us. So it's a concept. We haven't fleshed it out much, but it's certainly something we could pursue if that were the best. And of course, any of this, you're going to want to do some sort of, I would recommend you do some sort of pilot study to gauge how effective it is. I mean, I think our police department does a really good job right now. So you'd want to know how much are we gaining if we're going to spend more money on these types of things. So we'd have to evaluate the cost and effectiveness.
And again, all of this is cheaper than a $50 million overpass.
Yes, sir.
And gets put into effect. And Eric, I'm not sure where, you know, are we talking building this into next year's budget? I don't know, you know, what room we have. But I think the committee would like to, let me put it out to the committee. These are great. Thank you for these options. I have a question I'll ask you and Chief Arnold. When we talk about the expansion of the community service officers, are we talking about maybe pre-positioning during high traffic hours, or is that a call and response from somewhere else? Is that a valid question, Chief?
That's absolutely a valid question. The answer is yes, we can do that. Real quick about our towing contractual service. We have 5 tow truck companies that we contract with for total of 13 towing vehicles. We looked at some of their response times during peak hours. That's anywhere from 22 minutes to 30 minutes response time. I'd like to see that come down, a little bit quicker response time from towing companies. That's a big challenge, though. Once the roadways start to back up, it's hard for them to make their way through traffic. So we do communicate with our tow truck drivers. When they need to get through traffic, we will let the lane run longer just to get that tow truck company up there sooner. So we do work on that. One of the biggest times, and we've heard different numbers associated with it, for every minute a roadway is blocked, it creates so much of a backlog. Mm-hmm. So we pulled some of our data. Our average response time to a collision, and this was the main thoroughfares during 3 peak time frames, which is the morning rush hour, 6:30 to 8:30, the noon rush hour, which is 11:30 to 12:30, and then the afternoon, 3 to 7, rather. And we looked at the data for last year. The 3 in the afternoon until 7 in the evening, by far the majority of collisions, around 1,800 or 81 collisions during that time frame.
How many?
1,081 collisions.
Annually?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Well, total annually is 1,611 collisions. Some of those are very minor. I got out, I was going to lunch the other day. I saw a collision occur in front of me. Anytime we walk up, are you okay? Are you okay? Is your vehicle drivable? Yep, pull out of the parking lot. We do all of our collisions that way. But to let you know, the average response time is around 8 minutes, 16 seconds from when the time the dispatch calls us to the time when we're on scene. Total time for completion from the time the dispatch calls us until the time we're clear from the scene is averaging around 41 minutes. That's to include roadway cleanup, everything. But to answer your question, yes. And that's one of the things that we're looking at is our CSOs do an amazing job. You know, they take reports on a variety of when the suspect's not present, crime's already occurred. But during these peak time frames, particularly in the afternoon, we can suspend them going to those types of calls so that they are available and are on that main thoroughfare to try to improve that. So, yes.
quick question. When you mentioned those five tow truck companies, do we have long-term contracts? Are we under contract with them? So just to put out there, if we were to make changes or you know, do a pilot program and go in another direction, how long are we contractually obligated is what I'm asking, I guess.
So
what flexibility would we have to change things if we just if council decided?
It is an ordinance, so it would require, I would assume, a change in the ordinance. It's set up as such, and it's a rotation. We can add more to it. We can change the matrix, meaning they have to have more trucks or a shorter response time. And might it have to allow them to increase their fees, because the way the tow companies make the money is they charge the citizen. They don't charge. It's not the town paying for that. So if we want a more responsive, shorter response time, going to have to look at ways to financially make that happen.
Right. How do you make that happen?
We adjust the contract and pay more for the service, which is something we'd be willing to do. If what I sense is, I think we need a little more time to perfect a recommendation on how to reduce
right.
the response and clearing time.
Right.
And this may be one of those ways to do it. And so if you're comfortable with that, Mr. Mayor, perhaps next month, or it could be sooner if you like, we could come back with pinpointing a way to bring down that time frame.
Tow companies are great when they have staffing. And I'm not telling Mark something he didn't already know. And the majority of them are having a hard time, especially in Mount Pleasant. I know several of the companies here, they cannot get employees. Or if they do, they live outside of our jurisdiction. And to his point, taking 30 minutes to get here from West Ashley, mm-hmm. North Charleston, wherever they may live. So that becomes an issue. And I also think we don't want to completely take over the towing process. Yes, we need to improve clearing our roadways. But we're going to need those tow companies. They have the storage. Mm-hmm. You know, they also come pick up our DUIs, our recovered stolen vehicles. So we're going to need them. Again, Eric, to your point, maybe paying them more, or I think, again, the citizens want to pay for the service.
Right.
Do we get anything from that? Do you remember, Chief? I can't remember if we get anything from them. But I didn't know if they paid back to us or not. I thought at one time they did do some permitting process somewhere. But when you look at our response time, 8 minutes is awesome. I think it's like we're there. What's holding us up is getting that road clear. Mm-hmm. That's why I've always, and I'll continue to really advocate for the Chef style vehicles. Again, I appreciate Brad saying how, you know, it pushes, but there are vehicles out there that have that quick attachment. I mean, the repo trucks that right now you see out there now, the pickup style trucks that can pick up a vehicle and move it quickly. I think if we had something like that, whether it's two, three, whatever it is, then Chief would strategically place them around the town, around his staff, or whatever they decided. Looking at, you know, their crash data, response data, that would be something the police department would do, where you could have that ability and have those officers that could still do other duties as well, but during those peak times could respond at that same 8 minute interval
right.
and get there. Once, you know, again, once it's not injuries and they're stabilized, there's a whole different world you deal with that on a bad accident. But they could get those vehicles pushed out of the way or hooked up and moved to the side of the road, still waiting on the tow truck to come get it. And then take it to stake the storage. We don't want to get in the storage business. I can tell you all that right now. And the liability with that. And then the after hours of having somebody there to lease the vehicle, take the money. So, and you know, a lot of times cars run out of gas on the bridge where these Chef style vehicles could have fuel. And I think there's a lot that can be done with that style vehicle to augment our police department and what they do and reduce that 20 to 30 minute and then a 41 minute clear time. I bet you cut that in half with the vehicle that we controlled, right. That his staff controlled, that his staff looked at the data and says, this is where I need you and be there. I'll tell you, the tow truck having them staged, when I was still chief and we were dealing with the Strawberry Festival, as y'all all know. You know, we paid to have tow truck staged, and they helped. It was great to have them. I just don't know what the reality is getting these tow companies sitting there. Even though that money makes that $50 an hour may sound good, they might be making more money by going on calls and towing vehicles, whether it be for another agency, whether it be for AAA, you know, fill in the blank. So really have to look at where they're making money. I think the police department's doing a great job responding and mitigating as much as they can. I think if we give them a few more tools, this low-hanging fruit we talk about, we can get something happening pretty fast. Chief, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, but I think that's something we can certainly provide you.
I think there is some room to improve. It's interesting. We're running into some new things, EV vehicles. I was just talking to Adam Willis and some of the towing companies. Sometimes they get in minor collisions and it doesn't look like they're even damaged, but it messes up the computer system. You can't put it in drive. You can't move it. You can't do anything with it. We've had some that have had very minor collisions and they're sitting in the roadway and they cannot be moved. So having an ability to raise it up, put the wheels on dollies and just slide it off to the side of the road without getting into the towing business is a in-between measure potentially that we could look at. So there's much more to research and consider.
So you were advocating the third one on here, motorist assistance service like SHIP, to sort of develop that idea. Are we talking about our staff and our equipment that we I like that, that we dispatch and we even pre-position for a strawberry festival or just knowing where, Brad, what our data showed where our crashes are and when they are, we know where the hot spots are and we have control over that. We're not waiting on the tow truck to show up from Ladson.
Sure. Right.
Okay.
And with us getting it moved out of the roadway quickly, we're opening our roads up, but our tow truck's still coming to pick it up
right.
and put it in storage, and they deal with it at that. We're done at that point.
That's the long term. The short term is what you were talking about. We yep. just get them off, which raises a question. We know what you do when a combustion engine car runs out of gas on the bridge. What do you do if an electric vehicle runs out of charge?
Call a towing company.
You tow it. There's no emergency charge, like the gallon of gas that gets you off the bridge. Okay, interesting.
What do we know what other big towns do when it comes like that? I mean, is there somebody we can look to for options?
There's other towns that are grappling with this same issue. I'm aware that Greenville City has, they've started a similar program with a SHIP-style truck that is run by their police department. They're new to this. We'll reach back out to them to find out how effective it is. Just having one vehicle, you never know where to put it. And, you know, you might pre-position it based off of crash data in this location, and then it happens at the other end of town or somewhere else in your area. So we're researching it, finding out every way we can to improve.
I think in answer to your question, Atlanta is probably the star right now. And Atlanta's got a lot of different options. So maybe we can look at Atlanta,
sure.
see all the things that they're doing. And I go back to, in the report, that every minute a typical lane is blocked due to an incident, that's 4 minutes of travel delay time. For every 1 minute. So just a 5 minute time when a car runs out of gas or the charge or a small fender bender. A 5 minute time period gets you to 20 minutes that you've lost that capacity on the road. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. I like the idea of helping with the CSO program. And, you know, maybe we need to get a few more CSOs just for this and train them for this. The vehicle like SHIP is a great idea, but I'd sure like to see what Atlanta's doing with the tow trucks and all. And this is simply for incidents. I would also like to see us start a program where we have a traffic control person that understands time space diagrams out of our transportation section, so that we're checking our controls every day, every day. Because if there is a storm or something like that, the equipment sometimes gets out of whack. But if we're checking it every day, it makes a difference, it makes a big difference. So I'd like to see that added to this as well.
So am I hearing from the committee that that this third option, the motorist assistance vehicle like a SHIP, is something that we're really hot on as one of the first low-hanging fruits? And Howard, I think what you're talking about, I agree. That's probably a little more equipment, a little more space, and a little more highly specialized. Could that be the next?
It could
layer?
Be the next. But again, I'd like to see what Atlanta is doing. And maybe they've got some smaller types mm-hmm. of things, such as the SHIP, that they're using, just as a thought.
Have we given staff a good feeling for what we would like to do and bring this back next month would be good. Okay. Any other questions or comments on 4A or B before we move on to 5? Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. All right. Item 5 is an update on ongoing projects. So,
yes, sir. We will move briefly through this. So Patriots Point Gateway Intersection Improvement Project, I'm sure you've seen there's a lot more activity going on out there, still dealing with some utility relocation, but two crews out there moving forward with that project. Here's some photos of a control structure that was being installed the other night. So they are out there working. Vaughn Ed Key Parkway, this project is also proceeding very well. I'm still with a completion date of early October. So we are definitely moving towards that. We've got actual landscape is being installed today. Sod was installed early last week before the storm. So got some good rain watering.
Picture on the right is what we would see now.
Yes, sir. And there's some updated photos of actual trees and landscaping in the median areas. And then later this week, going into the weekend, we're going to be finishing up the last bit of paving on both of those tie-ins on Rifle Range and 17. So moving forward at a good clip. Billy Swales Boulevard, we are still moving through permitting for this project, including our internal review for stormwater. So that project is proceeding forward through those normal channels. Maritime Port District Intersection Improvement, most of the road work has been complete as part of this. One minor utility still waiting on some equipment on their end to move. And then we're waiting on the traffic signal mast arms to come in. A note on this one specifically, I know we've received a number of calls about flooding along Wando Park Boulevard. So we did some further investigation outside of the limits of our project here and found this is a video of the pipe, the drainage pipe, which had in two places a root ball essentially grow through and almost entirely block the pipe.
This is off Wando Park?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
This has since been removed, and during observations of this past week's storm, no flooding issues were recorded.
So I remember one year it was I don't know if Hillary's in the room. Kevin, you probably remember. Remember when the truck mud flap was found covering one of the storm drains? I mean, sometimes it's a simple thing. Other times it's a little deeper.
Yes, sir. So moving on to All-American Boulevard, these two segments, which are really becoming one, are wrapping up the final internal approvals for MS4, and we're still looking at probably an early 2024 bid date for this project. So moving on to Mathis Ferry and Vinning Road, you may have seen this morning, this project has officially started. The contractors put in all of the inlet control features, and they will begin road work on this. Again, those are improvements on all four approaches to the intersection to help add additional capacity here. One of our higher volume intersections with the Lucy Beckham School off to plan left. Again, that's going through Shim Creek Bridge bike lanes. We bid this project. Unfortunately, we did not receive any contractor's bid on this, so we're reconvening. We're getting back with SCDOT in the process he's associated with rebidding, and hope to have that out here in the next month or so, back on the street, contact additional bidders, figure out why they didn't bid, and make the appropriate changes. And then lastly, a slew of Mount Pleasant Way projects, sort of the highlights being submittal of a reconnecting neighborhood and a neighborhood access and equity grant. That's that top bullet, submitting at the end of the month for the design of the entire Mount Pleasant Way that's not already funded through other sources or tied to other projects. And then the Kenny Mile project, another big one that's looking to be sort of our big ribbon cutting, big splash project, going through a slight redesign on that and hoping to have those plans wrapped up and permitted here by the end of the year. So that is all for project updates. Happy to answer any questions.
Quick question, our email today about the timing of the crossing at Wando High School.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So we do have a specific configuration for the afternoon period when school releases. There is a compressed 10-minute period where all of the students who would be utilizing
that. Provide a little background what we're talking about. Because this was just an email that came and I.
Absolutely. So the email was in reference to pedestrians not getting enough crossing time at the intersection of 17 and Carolina Park, either not enough crossing time or a long frequency between those pedestrian times being serviced. So we are running a half cycle length there right now, which basically means in the normal time that we operate that signal for vehicles for all phases to be and approaches to be serviced, we've cut that in half and are servicing it twice within that same 180 second cycle length. The afternoon peak, we have a specific configuration because when school releases in 10 minutes, everyone typically who's going to be crossing that intersection as a pedestrian or cyclist has done so. These are confirmed by observations that we've done in the field. In the morning, it's a little bit more difficult, a little bit more sporadic arrival patterns, but we can certainly look into doing something similar during that time frame as well. That is still running on that longer cycle length. And again, the concern from the citizen was students and children not really adhering to the traffic laws and running across the roadway. Similar things that we've seen in the past and police has helped to enforce as well. So we can certainly look into doing something similar for that morning period as well.
Okay.
And possibly beefing up that afternoon as well.
Okay. If y'all could either... I think I sent y'all the lady's email either directly to her or to me, back to her. It doesn't matter. I don't need it to go through me. But if y'all have her email address, that would be.
Yeah. We can respond. Yes, sir.
Thank y'all so much. Very, very helpful. Any other questions on any other ongoing projects? I appreciate it. It's good to make progress on our overall traffic management / mobility action plan. I feel like we're focusing in on getting some results. And that'll be a really good thing for our citizens. Anything else? If not, we will stand adjourned. And stand by after the flood.
Yeah.